prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Thursday, October 3rd, 2013. Wendy Wilson will be joining us for the first segment of the program today. Lots of things going on. We'll be talking about after that, all kinds of things that are happening on the Hill, and for those of you who didn't hear, there was some sort of a shots fired up there on the Hill, a woman involved, all we know so far, with a baby. So it'll be interesting to see how they spin the details on this, but sometimes it just might be what it is. Let's go ahead and get right to the market reports today. We have gold. Now, I know they're here somewhere, my gold prices today. It's all over the page. You know, we had a low of 1301 and a high of 1322, and we're settling out today about 1318, up a buck and a half. Silver, same thing, all over the page. 1 minute's up, next minute it's down. Right now, we're pretty much unchanged at 2182, down a penny. Platinum had a little bit bigger hit along with palladium. Platinum was down $17 at $1,377. And palladium, interesting enough, was also down $17 at $706. How does that work? Yeah, it just amazes me. So good old computers. You have the USDX today down 79.77, down 0.13, along with crude oil down a buck at 106. And, of course, with everything that's going on the paper markets today, pulled back. They tried to keep it. It was below 15,000 a couple times today, and they brought it back, and now we're looking down about 136 points at $14,996. And you have the NASDAQ down 40 points at 3,774, down just a little over 1%. The S&P is down 15, not quite 1%, on the same amount as the Dow, 1,678. The 10-year yield is still treading between the 2.60 and the 2.65. Today it's 2.61. I saw the euro got up over 136, and of course we would have that with the pressure that we're seeing on the U.S. dollar. So we have lots of things to talk about today, and but first, before we get to the financial news program today, Wendy Wilson is joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Is Al with you today?
Yes, he is. Good afternoon, Al.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was hoping to sneak out. I was hoping if no one introduced me, I could just kind of sneak out, just turn the microphone off and...
You wouldn't do that. You like to talk too much.
Actually, I don't.
Well,
I only talk on the radio. When I'm right from the radio, I'm actually not very talkative.
Well, let me talk about something. How's that? How about we talk about bladder urgency or incontinence issues?
It's a good... I was just thinking of that.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason I was going to turn off my microphone. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's hard to really say the true numbers of Americans wearing adult diapers. They say there's 25 million of them, but not all of Americans are wearing adult diapers because of urgency issues or incontinence. It's an interesting thing. Some adults, especially over in Japan, are also doing the same thing. They're wearing these adult diapers for convenience. They just don't want to take the time out for a pit stop. And those Americans that have very busy jobs, like on the stock exchange floor, or maybe they're professional gamblers, they don't want to take a time out away from the gambling table or the floor, and they'll wear the adult diapers because they're betting on those diapers holding 9 cups of fluid. What do you think of that?
I think it takes a lot of the romance out of gambling. You know, we've watched the movies with James Bond and the rest of these people gambling, playing against the sheaf in the, you know, in the big poker games there or whatever it was in allegedly someplace in the Mediterranean. I don't remember. But in any case, it was all very glamorous.
Yeah.
Now we find out these people are maybe, they're maybe.
Diapers.
Yeah, they're wearing diapers and
urinating in their own tuxedo while they're playing. Oh my God!
Yeah, while they're playing in those nice long dresses and gowns. Haven't you seen that TV ad where an actress/model is modeling the adult diaper under a very clingy evening dress, and you can't tell the difference? Anyway,
they just now also I've seen recent commercials where they has Protect My Manhood, men. These disposable or whatever you want to call them for men.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, I don't know. The whole thing seems a little weird to me. I guess.
Now,
am I that far out of touch? Tell me this, Wendy.
Yeah.
Am I that far out of touch that I just don't get it? Or am I just too young to understand the deeper?
We live in a disposable world.
I don't understand. I'm at that awkward age.
No, we just live in a disposable world. And, hey, you know, and the casinos, they have very strict rules about these adult diapers now, okay? You cannot allow any of your adult diaper to show, peek out, or anything. And you can't allow it to be smelly either, or they're going to throw you out. And over in Japan, I mean, it's just incredible. I think over there, Japanese magazine SPA Oddity Central did a segment on this where more Japanese women don't have, you know, of all kinds of ages, not just, you know, over 50. They're wearing these adult diapers. They're also, get this, they're not cleaning up like they used to, and they're not shaving. So men over there complaining that the Japanese women are becoming like more like men. They're being slobs, right? And they
now,
have.
Wait a second. Not just a second. Are we talking about all men right now? Is that what you're? Are you inferring that all men are slobs, Wendy? Is that what you're saying? Because if you are, I want to stand up for my gender and say I remember I've met a couple of people who weren't slobs who were also men, but most of us, I agree, that's true, but not all of us. Go ahead.
No, okay, it was a generality. I mean, you know, guys typically don't want to pick up after themselves. They got a woman.
A little more relaxed, you know. We've got a little more of a relaxed mentality about these things.
Yeah, honey, pick up those boxer shorts, and on your way, if you're getting up, go ahead and bring me a beer. Well.
Hey, honey, pick up that adult diaper I left laying there on the floor.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that'll be going a little bit too far. I think that will stimulate a lot more divorces than we've seen in the past. It's one thing to leave your underwear, one thing to leave your socks. It's another thing to leave your diaper on the floor.
Well, the adult diaper issue in Japan is becoming such a problem in the landfills. Because it takes 500 years for these things to decompose. So they're having to recycle now. The adult diapers is becoming a mandatory thing over there. If you wear them, you use them, you have to recycle them. And they're turning them into fuel pellets. That's how many. I'm serious.
You know, I was in India when I was a kid. I made a trip to India when I was 19 years old, and the children out there would run out into the streets, and whenever the cows just walked around, they're holy animals out there, sacred cows and rest, they walk around, they just defecate wherever they feel like defecating, and the Indian people would run out and grab the cow manure and slap it into patties on the walls of their homes,
right,
where it would dry out, and they'd use it for fuel. So it's just, I'm thinking, ha-ha. In the coming economic debacle here in the United States, we're going to have people... I'm not even going to go ahead with that metaphor or that image, but
well, hey,
I have to. This is one of those programs we're making some radio history right now.
Okay, well, hey, you know, here in America, we have people wearing their adult diapers. 17.5 million tons of garbage, and it takes up 7% of the landfills, these adult diapers. Now, this is not including your infant and your toddler disposable diapers. Now, imagine this. Japanese women change their children's diapers twice as often as Americans. So you can just imagine the landfill problem over there. And it takes 250,000 trees and 82,000 tons of plastic to make a year's worth of adult diapers, and that's an incredible thing. So the average adult wears, they'll add about 1,100 to 1,500 diapers to the landfill every year. So there's billions
average
of dollars.
Adult? Oh, the average adult who does use these adult diapers will use something like 1,100 of them a year?
An average adult who wears these will go through 1,100 to 1,500 diapers in a year.
Well, that's a little bit encouraging. It implies that they're changing their diaper three or four times a day anyway, which I find it would be a little more unsettling if we found out the average adult only goes through about 200 of these a year.
Well, I tell you, and it's not necessary. I mean, if it's an urgency issue, you know, if you're not a gambler and don't work on the stock exchange, if you're really wanting to control the uncontrollable, it can be done. A lot of times it's, you know, overactive nerve endings in the bladder wall, or maybe it's just a muscle or a sphincter muscle that has gotten kind of lazy, and it could be from a lot of things. It could be from medications you're taking, or certain foods like chocolate can work like a sedative on a lot of muscles. So there's a lot we could do to get out of these adult diapers, Al.
Well, I tell you, there's going to have to be a lot we can do to get into them before I have to worry about getting out of them. I'm not I haven't reached the point where I'm doing adult diapers yet. I don't expect that anytime soon.
Let me list some foods that really people should avoid if they have that urgency issue, because these are foods that aggravate the bladder and contribute to that incontinence problem. It's white sugar, corn syrup, honey, fructose, any fructose, corn syrup, artificial colors and sweeteners, carbonated drinks, because they're usually loaded with the sugar, and artificial sweeteners and colors. Also, some spices are a no-no as well. Some people have real trouble with the hot circulatory spices like curry and chili and cayenne. They tend to stimulate the bladder more. And cranberry juice. A lot of people think, well, I'm just going to drink some cranberry juice because, you know, this is going to really flush out whatever. Actually, cranberry juice can make your urinary bladder problem worse because it changes the pH. It would create a higher pH content. So you may want to avoid the cranberry juice. Also, if you're taking medications like blood pressure or heart medications, muscle relaxants, sedatives or diuretics, or any product that has Excedrin in it is going to be a problem. So you might want to avoid all of that.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. It's rare for me to be kind of speechless on a program, but I'm kind of speechless right now.
Wow.
I don't know exactly where to go with this. And if you bring this subject up again, though, Wendy, I probably will have more to say about it at that time. But right this minute, I'm just, holy God.
Well, you know, over in Tel Aviv, over there, the university, they did a study with women and incontinence and blah, blah, blah. And they found that if they had low magnesium, it contributed to the urgency issue. So just a little bit of natural magnesium, which you can find in turnip greens, sardines, oatmeal, and even some of that Celtic sea salt, goes a long way, because magnesium is really necessary for muscle contraction and nerve function, which takes a whole lot of that to have the bladder work correctly. So, but I said all that to say this. There are also some herbs that help tone and cleanse and strengthen your plumbing area, if you will. And we do have a kidney bladder cleanse kit at Apothecary Herbs that works very well, especially if you have infections and frequent urinary tract infections. So there's a lot you could do naturally without side effects. So if anybody's interested, we do have that up on the website at thepowerherbs.com. Or they can simply call at our toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com, and get out of those diapers.
Are you telling us that if now you get out of those diapers, all right, what if you're using these kinds of products, are they going to tend to postpone the time when you might need diapers? Are these a preventative or just something to minimize the use once you've started?
I suppose, actually. Yeah, I mean, you could use this product as an annual, semi-annual maintenance. It does a lot of toning and strengthening of the bladder wall and the urethra. It also is excellent if you do already have a problem. We've had a lot of folks use it, and a lot of people just don't want to go out and be social, and, you know, they feel it's a stigma. And so they're embarrassed when they actually have to buy those diapers. And so a lot of people are using mail order to get the diapers for just, you know, being discreet about it. So, we've had both things happen. You can reverse it and you can prevent it.
All right. I've got one here. We've got a couple minutes left. Got an article, the Fattening of America. Is water fluoridation to blame? As more information comes to light about fluoride poisoning, connections between the chemical and weight gain are garnering attention. A known suppressor of the thyroid gland, fluoride is a major player in the rampant increase in obesity. But the toxicity of fluoride is subtle and can also manifest as creeping additional weight that is nearly impossible to shed. True story?
Yeah, and it also messes with your boron. It actually removes a lot of the boron mineral in your system, and boron's real important for regulation of hormones and strong bones, for calcium, magnesium, those three elements for uptake. So, yeah, I mean, it's you know, there is a ripple effect there. Kind of wanted to touch on that next week about the boron issue, so we can get into that in more detail next time.
Okay. No, that's fine with me. What else? I've got another one. Here is something from 59% of the tuna Americans eat is not tuna. When you eat tuna, there's a good chance you're not actually eating tuna. Instead, the majority of the fish labeled white tuna may actually be escalar, a type of fish that can cause serious digestive effects, including, oh my gosh, this is my day for this stuff, oily anal leakage.
Okay. Well,
I didn't know that was coming exactly. I looked at the story before,
I'm thinking,
here comes the need for the diapers again. If we're going to eat this phony tuna, maybe we're going to need the diaper.
what about the apricot? Is that what they're talking about too?
No, they just said white tuna, and that they probably mean that the term white tuna, I haven't read the whole article, but they probably mean that white tuna is not tuna. All right? It's like the Federal Reserve is not federal. All right? It's not truly part of the federal government. It's something else. It's just part of the name in there. So tuna and white tuna are apparently two different things, and if you eat white tuna, you may want to subscribe. You may want to order some of those diapers on Amazon.com. Put them in your spouse's name or whatever, so people won't suspect they're coming to you. But in any case, Wendy, we are right about out of time, so we want to thank you for being on the program. Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs Shop at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks,
Talk to you next
thanks,
Tuesday
Al.
And learn more about boron.
Yeah, man. All right, bye.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What have you got for special for people today, Melody?
It's a great little special, $1,000. You're going to get a tube of circulated Morgan silver dollars. You're also going to receive a $5 Liberty gold piece, $1,000. It includes all your shipping costs, plus your name will be placed in a drawing for the end of the month where you could win. And we've already given away a Mint State 62 $10 Liberty and a tube of Silver Eagles. And what we're going to give away this month is a Mint State 62 $10 Indian. And the second prize will also be a tube of 1 ounce silver eagles. So with each purchase this month, this is a great special. And maybe if you pick up the special, maybe we'll put your name in twice. So I don't know if that, that's a good idea, isn't it, Al? So if you pick up the specials, your name will be placed in the drawing twice. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. Visit our website, dgscoins.com. And if you have any questions for today's program, you can email us at dgscoins. Nah, I said that wrong. Questions for the program. questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. And, of course, if you'd like to call us with a question or a comment, 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191 if you'd like to give us a call while we're here on the program.
Okay. Got an article here about pensions in Spain. And it's just pensions, unemployment, interest on public debt consume 54% of Spain's budget. All right, there's the headline. There's a certain amount of more information on that. Pensions will rise by just 0.25% in 2014, the minimum allowed under a pension reform that's been previously approved. There's a graph here. Pensions consume 36% of Spain's budget. Pensions, unemployment, and interest payments on the public debt eat more than half of the budget. They talk about pensions, pensions, pensions. The point I'm trying to make is this. Nobody's saying it exactly, but these government pensions are an enormous part of the Spanish debt. They are a significant part of probably just about every Western government's budget at this time. Government pensions. All right? This is going to come to an end. And we can't just say that's news. You're certainly not hearing it here for the first time. You've heard it at other places, or at least implied. But the truth of the matter is, we have people at the federal level, according to some studies, that are being paid double what they could expect to earn if they had been working in the private sector. That's double payment now, all right? You go to work, and in the 1st and the 15th, you get twice as much as you could make if you were working in the private sector. And plus, on top of that, you get a government pension that makes Social Security look like chump change. And on top of that, in many instances, you're allowed to retire after only 20 years of government service. Now, the truth of the matter is a lot of people are doing this and saying, well, they're just playing the system. They're just working it. It's a heck of a deal. It's a heck of a job. Well, yeah, it is. But who's paying for all those pensions? Who's paying your double? Who's, when you're getting paid twice what you're worth, who do you suppose is paying that additional salary effectively that you're receiving? Who's going to be paying for your additional years of retirement when you get to retire early while the rest of the people out there in radio land have to continue working until they might be 65 years old? What's happening is that these government employees are taking food out of the mouths of people that are actually out working for a living. And I know that everybody in government says, well, it's not our fault. Just we're just working the system. We're just being smart. And I'm telling you, the time is coming when you're going to see that the system doesn't work. And you're going to be screaming just like people in Detroit. They've taken these enormous pensions and these promises. This government of the city of Detroit said, oh, yeah, we're going to provide you people with big, fat pensions. You work for us and it's all gravy. They're going to wind up losing those pensions. And they're going to scream and they're going to shout and they're going to say this is unfair and unjust. But the truth of the matter is it is inevitable. And the bigger truth is that the people responsible are not merely the officials in government that made unreasonable, irrational pension promises. It's also the fault of the people who worked for the government and said, boy, is this a heck of a deal. The truth is that if any of us had looked closely, we could have realized and understood that these pensions can't be kept. These pension promises can't be kept. And we are all responsible. Not merely, you know, we're responsible for playing the fool if we played the fool. If I promise to hire 100 people out of this audience, pay each one of you $100,000 a year, that might sound like a great deal, but I guarantee I can't pay it. And if you did a little research, you'd understand that's true, and you should say, I'm not going to work for that guy. He can't pay that money. The same thing should have held true for people that are taking American pensions, Spanish pensions, pensions in Italy, pensions around the world. Government pensions they're going to be a bad investment, and probably this is going to be apparent within the next several years. You know, to some degree, it already is. In some places, it already is apparent, and next several years, it may be even more obvious. So how's your pension working out for you, Melody?
Mine's doing just fine and fine and dandy. It's all in gold and silver, so I'm happy. I know it's never going to zero. I know I always have value. I know I can sell it whenever I need it, or, you know, to get me through the month. I have many clients who do the same thing. And, you know, people don't even look to gold and silver as the as a pension, as their retirement, and what they can do with it. You know, they've been talked out of purchasing it for one way or for one reason or another. And, you know, hey, gold is the greatest savings account that you can have. It's better than any paper, and people get confused. They think they might have, you know, mining shares, and they might have another type of, you know, gold investment, and they think they own gold. Well, it is not quite the same as taking physical delivery of your product. And it's people feel secure in owning paper gold, and it isn't the same. Mining shares, you do not own gold. You own a company. Two different things.
You own pieces of paper. You own an IOU, and what you really have is a kind of derivative. The value of those mining shares are derivative from the value of physical gold. They are secondhand, however, and the difference is between whether you want to hold an IOU or you want to hold an ounce of gold in your hand. Which do you want? A piece of paper that says IOU 1 ounce of gold, or would you rather have 1 ounce of gold right there in the palm of your hand? If you've got a piece of paper, you essentially have a derivative device, and even if you don't truly grasp the concept of derivatives, and I'm not absolutely certain how many people do, you can still understand that there's been enough talk about derivatives and enough criticism of derivatives over the past 4 or 5 years that you can realize, you know, if it's a derivative, this is risky. Right? Not to say that it's necessarily bad, but this is more risky than that which is not derivative. What's not derivative? Something real, something tangible, something that's there in your hand. Pieces of paper are derivative. There's additional risk, and that should be avoided, at least on a long-term basis. Short-term, you might be able to pick up a piece of paper, and you'll be able to work with it, and it'll do all right for you. Long-term, can't be. It's the risk is significant and should probably be avoided.
And I'll tell you, we live in a world where you want to avoid high risk. Whenever comes high risk, anytime anybody talks to you about high yields, high returns, higher than normal, the risk is so great. And I'm not saying, and I know a lot of my listeners and a lot of my clients have mining shares. And I know they followed the advice of Robert Chapman, and he's no longer with us, and I know they turned elsewhere, and I know many of them are getting so much, I'm not saying all of them are getting such bad advice, but I mean, I read and I see what goes on, and I hear from my clients what goes on, and you know, you just have to be so careful, folks. And if it doesn't make sense to you, then don't do it. I can't tell you how many times people have told me, well, you know, I didn't feel right doing it. Then you shouldn't do it. If you don't feel right doing it, then don't do it when you're getting involved with various papers and so forth. But
what's the big attraction of paper, Melody?
I think that is the promised gains.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And those gains are illusory. Those gains are denominated in paper. It's like playing Monopoly and taking it seriously. All right? If you want to go out and lie, cheat, steal, and even kill for Monopoly money, I guess you can do that, but it doesn't make good sense. You know, those little plastic hotels aren't really hotels, and that paper you've got isn't really money. We can get into it. If anyone who's played Monopoly, you understand how you can get caught up in the game. We can get caught up in the game playing with the paper money we get from the Federal Reserve, too. And it's really just Monopoly money. It has no intrinsic value. It's just a little fancier. It's each sheet of Federal Reserve notes is more value than a sheet of Monopoly money, but not much. You know? And certainly the real value of the Monopoly money in either case is only a fraction of perceived value. And there's, you know, and that opens the door for exploitation and risk and perhaps losing your wealth. So in any case, just a good idea. And it's a fundamental idea. We've harped on this program for, I've talked about it for 5 years, and I have no idea how long Bob Chapman talked about it. But in
We did programs for 9 years.
Stay away from that. You know, it's not an absolute rule. I know that you can make money off paper. I understand that. But it is comparatively risky, comparatively dangerous, and the day is going to come. We've harped on it for years. What can't be paid won't be paid. The government's so deep in debt, it can't possibly pay all of its debts. Can't do it. Not possible. Right? Which means a lot of people holding paper debt instruments are going to lose their assets. It's going to happen. Not necessarily this year, not necessarily next year, but it's going to happen. It's like we talked about yesterday a little bit. The analogy. We know where the train is going. We're all riding this train. We know where the train is going. We know what's going to happen, but we don't know when. We don't know if we're gonna have that catastrophic moment. Are we going to see it in the next 6 months, in the next 6 years? Who knows? But we know where it's going. When we reach that destination, would you rather arrive with a fistful of paper stocks, paper bonds, paper dollars in your pocket? Or would you rather arrive at that destination with a fistful of gold, silver, coins? And the answer is just obvious. Now, it may be that we can use those paper dollars and the paper stocks and the paper bonds. They may be useful while we're en route to our final destination. You'll have time. Get on the train. You can buy yourself a dinner on the train with some paper dollars and so on. You can move with paper. Stop off a little town along the way and buy some, who knows, a magazine. You can get it with paper. But when you get to that final destination, your paper is likely to be worthless, and what you are going to want is gold and silver. Oh, what else, Melody?
And, you know, I'm hearing again the resurfacing of taking your items offshore, putting your money offshore. Folks, that's not going to help you. That's not going to help you at all. U.S. banks, the FDIC is no longer going to insure U.S. banks' foreign accounts. You also have, you know, you have people, expats, who are giving up their citizenship because the U.S. IRS is coming after their money that they have in those accounts. There's tax laws being changed to get to that money. It's not safe anywhere. The safest place you can have it, as far as I'm concerned, is with you. And it's really as simple as that. We're going to be talking a little bit. We just wanted to, you know, update on the woman who had tried to ram the White House. And you had the Capitol was on lockdown. There were shots fired. A woman tried to go through a barrier at the White House today with her vehicle. I believe she was shot and killed. There was actually a baby in the car. There was a police officer that was injured in a crash and was taken to the hospital. I don't believe there's been a lot more information that has been released than that. Everything is, you know.
Well, you know what that proves, don't you, Melody?
What?
We're going to have to outlaw cars. We have to outlaw guns whenever anybody does anything foolish with guns. And now we're going to have to outlaw automobiles in the name of public safety. I'm waiting to see. As soon as the government gets out of lockdown, we can expect to see some of the Democrats will advocate that.
Well, the only thing that really does, you know, why would a woman do it with a baby in the car?
You got to be nuts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the reality of the situation. And that'll be easily seen, and the difference will be we will understand, we will almost certainly understand in a fairly short period of time that the woman was just mad as a March hare. And we'll accept that as an explanation. But the government will still insist the next time someone pulls a gun out that the problem is that he has guns And the problem is not that he's taking antidepressants or he has mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
They'll use it as a pretext to strip us of our firearms. But when we're talking about automobiles, it's going to be mental illness is fine excuse if you're driving a car, and it's not an excuse if you're using a firearm. We're going to take a break for some more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody was talking about the idea that it's unreasonable to think about moving your gold, silver, whatever, to foreign sites, countries, vaults. And that's exactly correct, because the reason you want to move that, you want to move your wealth offshore, is because you're afraid that our government will seize your wealth if you keep it in a local vault. And you're afraid, you fear the government, therefore, aha, I'll move the government, I'll move my wealth into a foreign vault. But of course, if our government ever reaches a point where it's willing to try to seize the wealth of private people that have been stored in American vaults, what would make anyone believe that they're not going to be willing to do the same thing in foreign countries? They might do it in foreign countries just as an act of retribution, a way of getting even with the Americans who are depositing. Huh? If the government seizes wealth in this country, governments in other countries are going to seize wealth too. And if the government in our country seizes wealth, for example, Germany wants to get its gold back from the New York Federal Reserve, and they're telling them it's going to take 7 years. What does that mean, except that the New York Federal Reserve has seized the Germans' gold? That's what it means. You know, I could go ahead and, Melody, you can loan me $100,000. Or maybe I'll just pick up $100,000. You know, it's laying around, I'll pick it up and put it in my pocket. I'm not robbing you, Melody. I'm going to give it back in 7 years. Who would believe that? It's clearly theft. That's what's happening. Governments, or at least elements, they are seizing things. If they do it here, we can anticipate that before it's done, people will react in foreign countries and try to get even. So the lesson in all of this is we are headed into difficult times. We're headed into times when our government may seize your wealth. We are headed into times when foreign governments may seize your wealth. The only way you're likely to be able to protect your wealth is if you do it on an individual basis. And you have to be careful, and even that, I mean, there's no matter what you do, there is not a risk-free solution that's available. What you're going to have to do is accept the fact we're coming into difficult times. It's like being on the Titanic again and accept the fact that you're going to have to strap on a life preserver. And yes, it may ruin the line of your suit or the style of your dress or whatever, but nevertheless, we're coming in difficult times, and you are going to have to strap on a life preserver. And if you do, you're going to have to keep that life preserver close at hand. If you want to store your life preserver, you're going to sit back and say, well, I'm on the Titanic, but I don't want to take a chance on losing the life preserver, so I'm going to have mine shipped to New York City, so it'll be there when we arrive. No, you got to keep it on board, close at hand. Same thing goes with gold and silver. So what else, Melody?
Oh, how about the IRS?
Good enough.
Yes. With the government shutdown, they had some non-essential employees.
Only 91% of them. Only 91% of the IRS employees were non-essential. They were laid off. And according to this article from the Washington Times, that leaves more than 9% of the IRS staff on duty to do the job at the IRS. So here's, for me, this is one of the silver linings of a government shutdown. You know, the IRS, 90% of them have been sent home for the duration of the shutdown. Hooray! Hooray! And it means, and even the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee have stopped getting documents from the IRS. They've subpoenaed documents. And the IRS is telling them, look, we got so few people, we can't even send you the documents that the government has requested. Now, I don't know if that's true or if they're just using that as an excuse to kind of get even with Congress for shutting them down. But it makes no difference to me. I don't care. You know, I'm whatever the story is. However, the one thing about it, they are still collecting taxes during government shutdown, but they don't have enough people to send any refunds. So if you're sending your money in, you better get it in there. But don't expect any refunds until after the government shutdown is concluded and the IRS, the remainder of the IRS employees are put back to work. No.
Well, you know, tomorrow it'll be an interesting day to see what the markets do heading into Friday. Going into Friday, you know, people always try to position themselves over the weekend in case anything major happens during the weekend. It'll be interesting to see what the markets do, what gold does tomorrow. And now we're beginning to see this little bit of a shaking from Wall Street. And we'll have to see if it... how much pressure it does put on the shutdown if they eventually come to terms and so forth. So we'll have to see how low that stock market can go on this first crisis, if you consider the shutdown a crisis, and then up to the debt ceiling. I guess the date on that now is October 17th.
Yeah, but they've allegedly got even a few days after that.
A few dollars, yeah.
They can
pick and choose.
They can borrow money from Congress or from the lobbyists or whatever and keep the government going for no telling how much money there is that's available from the lobbyists.
Well, what they need to keep going is paying the interest on the debt. So,
well, yeah, that's one of them. And everyone is concerned that we are going to see a default. They express concerns about that. And I don't know whether are these concerns realistic? exaggerated, hyped? What do you think, Melody? Will the sky fall if the government defaults on its debts for a couple of days or weeks?
You know, I don't know. I believe the system's going to collapse under its own weight.
Yeah, but when?
And I'm not so sure. I really believe they will increase the debt ceiling.
Of course.
And I mean, so I think they'll avoid it this time. What concerns me also is these questions that are being asked about the debt ceiling. Why do we have it? It needs to be changed.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are the only country in the Western world, maybe the whole world. Matter of fact, we talked about this maybe a year ago, and I don't remember it clearly, but at that time, we are the only government in the world that has a debt ceiling law. All right, there might be one other country, one other obscure country that has them. Otherwise, other than that, other people just borrow money as they need it and they go from there. This debt ceiling is almost unique to the United States. And I don't doubt that some people are going to see this as an opportunity and a cause to get rid of the debt ceiling. They're going to say, oh my gosh, it causes the government to be shut down. It's put too many people in hardship. We're going to have to get rid of that, eliminate the debt ceiling law. And on one level, what would it hurt? The government has claimed that the debt ceiling was a little less than $17 trillion that's been the debt ceiling for 18 months, 2 years, whatever it was. They've approached the debt ceiling probably 5 months ago now, four anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they continue to go on into debt. They just haven't bothered to admit it, but they've done it. So no one's really following the debt ceiling law anyway. What is the point to having it? What's the point to having it if we don't even obey it? You know, it's not going to break anyone's heart. Is it good? Does it really serve us well? Is it something we need? And it might be. I'm not saying the debt ceiling is necessarily bad. Maybe it's a good thing, but nobody obeys it. It's like having a speed limit sign that says you can only go 30 miles an hour and everybody drives 60. Might as well take that sign and locate it someplace else. If you can't make the people drive 30, then you might as well move that sign and, you know, put it on another street where the speed limit could be enforced. In any case, it's more evidence of the whole thing is fragile, unstable. It's beginning to quiver like that. Can't remember the name anymore, the commercials, Memorex commercials, the old commercials when someone would sing and hit high C and the glass would begin to vibrate and then it would suddenly shatter. Our glass is vibrating. We don't know if it's going to shatter or not, but our glass is vibrating, and it's one another one. This is the debt ceiling is just another one of the manifestations of this vibration. And we have to wonder how much more can they vibrate before we hit that catastrophic failure and the whole thing collapses. I've got an article here, Obamacare, from McAfee. John McAfee is the founder of McAfee Antivirus Software. A lot of you use McAfee antivirus programs on your computers. He criticized the confusing and insecure online apparatus being used by various states to implement Obamacare exchanges. McAfee said the web aspect of Obamacare is seriously bad and, quote, somebody made a grave error, unquote, not centralizing the system such that a consumer could go to one page and see all of the legitimate healthcare brokers. Instead, McAfee warned any hacker can create a page posing as a health insurance broker and elicit personal information from unassuming consumers. And he was talking about Obamacare went online a couple days ago. You can sign up for Obamacare, and a bunch of people are doing it, and you can sign up at the state level over the internet. But McAfee's saying the headline is Obamacare is a hacker's wet dream. That's McAfee's comment. It's going to open the door for a lot of identity theft, at least initially. We'll see how soon this is corrected. But it's another one of those little vibrations in that glass that just keeps on shivering and shaking. And it's also another straw on the back of the Obamacare camel. It's another one of those instances. We keep coming up with these instances where Obamacare may not be what we want. I don't know that any one of these instances is absolutely proof that Obamacare should be stopped, but you keep finding another one, and then another one, and then another one. And it's at least clear that whatever brains went into devising the Obamacare program, there was no similar intelligence gone in that's been expended on implementing that program. Once the law was passed, now what? Now you actually got to make it work. It'll be a lot harder to make Obamacare work than a lot of people suppose. It's almost certain to be that just because it's a government program. Be that with almost any government program you can name. You make a program that big, there's going to be more problems. As the problems show up, how many people are going to sit back and say, maybe not. Maybe we ought to let Obamacare go. What else, Melody?
They shouldn't, but once it's on the book, it's just a big transfer of, you know, interference into our lives, more control. You know, I've all recently, just today and yesterday, more and more people have told me that they've been canceled from their health insurance. You know, basically the same reason I was, non-compliant, and we'll be talking about that, I guess, the first of next week.
Yeah, we'll have something for you.
But there's also a lot of people, someone was telling me today that their grandchildren wouldn't be on their parents' policy once they reached 18. I says, no, you're wrong. I says, parents have to cover their children now till they're 26. And people just don't know what's going on and how they're going to be affected. And it's please, people, get outraged. People need to get ticked off and start making those phone calls and start saying no.
Yeah. We've and start encouraging the people in the Republican Party and especially the Tea Party members to stand their ground. Right. This is a great, we talked about this yesterday, in my opinion, this is evidence of a revolution that's taking place right now. This is not just about Obamacare, it's not just about a government shutdown. Nancy Pelosi said the real debate is about the extent of government, and that's what this is really all about, and I believe she's exactly correct. What we're seeing here is a war between two factions, one of which wants to grow government bigger and bigger and bigger, and Obamacare is just one man and one more manifestation of that growth, and others who are saying they've had enough. We can't afford any more big government. We don't care about your good intentions. We don't care about what would be nice. We don't care about turning this place into a fantasy land because we're so broke right now we can't go any further. And then we are seeing a revolution in Congress where people are standing up and saying, to heck with big government, and they might pull it off. We'll talk more about that tomorrow and in the next week or so as we watch this government shutdown drama unfold. Right now, however, we are out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening as usual. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.